enjoy that music today.
Amen.
I especially enjoyed it. My son, in whom I am well pleased. I said to you last week, he was one of two of my children who said, I will never go into ministry. Be careful what you say to God that you're not going to do. I have to tell you about yesterday. We had a celebration in our family of my wife's parents' 70 years of marriage. And that's a praise the Lord. And I've mentioned to you the road that my father-in-law is traveling down, that road of Alzheimer's. And a week ago, we were there, and he didn't know up from down. And he couldn't even get out of a chair. He couldn't walk. He couldn't put one step in front of the other. And here we were a week later planning this celebration where he and his wife, Cindy's folks, are going to get out of the house and go to a community center and celebrate this special day. And I'm thinking, how in the world is that going to happen? And we prayed. I know several in the family were praying that God would help and give his grace in this particular situation. And wouldn't you know it, we got there on Friday afternoon, and he's in his right mind, and the whole weekend he's been in his right mind, and he was walking on his own, and yesterday I thought he was going to break into a run. It was absolutely amazing, God's goodness for this. And with that special celebration going on, I'm blessed to have my kids, all three of them, here with us today in worship. I am so thankful for their faith in Jesus. That is what matters to Cindy and I, that our kids would have Jesus in their life, that they would know him personally as their Savior, that they would be growing with him. That's what matters to us. It does not matter to us the kind of house that they live in. It does not matter to us what their bank account looks like. It doesn't matter to us what kind of car they drive. It doesn't matter to us how high up the ladder they've climbed. What matters to us is that they know him and that they love him, and that they're teaching their kids to know him and to love him. And I hope that is how you feel. I hope that you, along with Cindy and I, are wrestling with God for your kids' souls and for your grandkids' souls, that you are asking his blessing upon each of them, that you will not let go of him until he blesses. Parenting is what we have been talking about over this whole month of January. We've talked about the fact that there are blessings to being a parent. We've talked, too, about the fact that there are challenges to being a parent. And in the video clip that we saw earlier in the service, we saw a highlight of some of the challenges. Just sometimes your heart is just broken. Parenting isn't easy. And we've all been there. And we talked last Sunday about ingredients of good parenting. We need to know what it takes to be a good parent. And the first one that we talked about, as you see here, is be a prayer warrior for your kids. We've emphasized prayer a lot through this series on parenting. We must go to God in prayer, asking for his help for our kids and for us as in decisions that we make as parents. The second ingredient that is helpful in good parenting is love. And love is spelled two different ways. We talked about that last week. It's spelled T-I-M-E and it's spelled W-O-R-D-S. We love our kids, therefore we spend time with them. We give of ourselves to them. And we speak words of love to them, words of affirmation to them. And I understand when a fella gets up to preach on parenting, I want you to know I have not had it all together through the years. In fact, through the years, as kids were at home, it was kind of hard for me to get up and preach on parenting because you got how many eyes watching you? You got three sets of eyes watching you for sure. Mine, my three kids were watching me. And sometimes what I preached on Sunday didn't always match up through the week. They could tell you stories about that. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? I'm thankful for God's grace. So thankful for His forgiveness, and so thankful that as we're talking about family, we need to be forgiving towards each other because, yeah, we don't always have it together. We need to give grace to each other. So let's continue this talk about what it takes to have good parenting, what it takes to be a good parent. Being a prayer warrior, love towards your kids, and how about this one, number three, love towards your spouse. I cannot emphasize this point enough. If you'll love your spouse, that will provide stability for your child that is desperately needed. And this is true whether your child is 8 years old or 22 years old. I'll never forget several years ago when Cindy's brother lost his marriage. His wife of 27 years just showed up at his workplace one day, walked in, and she said, "I'm done. I'm out of here. Don't try to contact me." And there had been no forewarning to that. He didn't expect that. He wasn't looking for that to happen. It just happened out of the blue, and I'm sure there were problems, obviously, but he didn't know that was going to happen. It broke his heart. You know who else's heart it broke? It broke the heart of their three kids who were all out of the home already. They were grown up on their own. And when they received word that their mom and dad were splitting up and that marriage was dissolving, it turned their world upside down. And that's what divorce does to kids. It's hard on the kids. And if it's that hard on kids who are young adults already, who are out of the home, how much harder is it on kids who are still in the home and dependent upon their mom and dad? It totally rocks their world. And I'm sure this is one of the reasons, one of several reasons, why God said through Malachi, the prophet, chapter 2, verse 16, He said, "I hate divorce." And He hates it because of what it does to the kids. And I know of folks who have made this kind of decision in their lives to leave their marriage. And one of the questions commonly asked of that person is, "How are the kids doing through all of this?" And I've heard those folks say, "Oh, the kids are doing fine. They're really not being affected by this." Who are they kidding? Do they have their head in the sand? Do they have blinders on their eyes? The kids are greatly affected by a breakup of the home. That is especially true if it's mom and dad who's breaking up. I think it's true, too, even if there is a step-parent involved in the breakup. The kids are oftentimes the biggest casualty of a divorce. That which is normal for them suddenly becomes totally unnormal. And they do have to deal with it. Kids these days need an example in front of them of true love in a marriage. They need a love that forgives. They need to see a love that endures. They need to see a love that is patient and kind. They need to see a love that is selfless. They need to see a love that is forgiving. Did I say that already? I think I did. I mean, they need to see in front of them a love that is compassionate, a love that is sympathetic. As I said, everything that I have done through the years in the marriage, I have had three sets of eyes watching me. And this was especially true as the kids were in the home. They were learning from me how to be married. They were learning from me and from Cindy too how to love. And probably now that as they have their own marriage, they are either benefiting from what they learned from us or they are having to overcome what they learned from us. We need to model for our kids what a good marriage looks like because they're going to come after us and they'll get married likely, and guess who they've learned from? Show your kids how to love their spouse by you loving your spouse. Show them how to forgive. Did I mention that already? I think I did. Show them how to serve one another. Show them how to communicate. Show them how to get out from in front of the TV and enjoy each other and have fun. Show them how to work through conflict, how to handle their anger, how to disagree in a Christ-honoring way. Show them what it means to have a Christ-honoring marriage. It's the best thing you could do for your kids. I'm thinking of what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 to the husband and to the wife. He said, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." He said to the wives, "See to it that you respect your husbands." And our kids need that modeled for them. They need to see from dad. They need dad to show them what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Moms, they need to see from you what it means to respect your husband. Believe me, they will learn from us one way or the other, either in a positive light or a negative light. Our kids deserve this kind of model lived in front of them. I honestly think this is what could be wrong with our country today, a lot of what's wrong. Over the last, 50 years, wouldn't you say? Over the last 60 years, kids have been growing up in homes where they have not had good models of marriage lived out in front of them. They have not learned righteousness and purity from their parents. They have not learned Jesus from their parents. You take the light of Jesus out of the home, what do you have left? You have darkness. And that darkness just gets darker and darker, and that's what we have today. We need some homes and marriages where the light of Jesus is shining brightly. I'm wondering, will you be one of those homes? Will you be one of those marriages where the light of Jesus is going to shine brightly from you? Your kids need that. They need love modeled for them. They deserve that. Now, I realize, hear me say this, I realize there are times when a breakup in the marriage is almost unavoidable. And maybe even it's needed, particularly if there is some sort of abuse involved. You can't stay in that kind of a marriage if there is abuse involved. But let's, for a moment, lay that scenario aside. And could I encourage you to try your best to love your spouse? It's one of the best things that you could do for your kids. We're talking about good parenting. What can I do to be a good parent to my child? One of the best things you can do for them is to love your spouse and provide that stable home and provide that model for them of what a good marriage looks like. Be willing to invest some money into your marriage. If you need help, get the help that you need. Take the time, spend the money to try and save your marriage. Go to marriage counseling. Make sure it's Christian counseling. Find a weekend retreat, a seminar that you can go to that is focused on marriage. Read some books on marriage. Listen to some podcasts on Christian marriage. Why wouldn't we invest some time and money into trying to save our marriage and make it better? We invest money and time into so many other things, don't we? Things that aren't nearly as important as our marriage. We invest into homes, houses. We invest into cars. We invest into boats and campers. And we invest into guns. And we invest into clothes. And we invest in, that list just goes on and on and on of the things that we invest to. We should be investing our time and our money into our marriage to help it be better. And if we do that, and it helps, if it makes a difference from having a mediocre marriage or a poor marriage into a much better marriage, you know who's going to be the benefactor of that? You are going to be the benefactor of that, and your kids are going to be the benefactor of that. Let me give to you one more point, number four, in this question, ingredient for good parenting, discipline of the kids. I wonder how many of you wondered if I would ever get to this point. Can't leave this point out when you're talking about raising kids. There's got to be discipline in the home. We've all seen the chaos that occurs when there's no discipline given to a child. Years ago, you know how some things just stick in your mind? This is one of those things that stuck in my mind. And I had a lot of respect and still do for Dr. James Dobson. And I was listening to him on the radio one day talking about parenting. And he was saying there are two parameters to good parenting. It was like this. He pictured it so well on the radio that I could picture it in my mind. There was a coming together of two lines. And they went out like this. And this line here, he said, a parameter of good parenting is love. And that's what we talked about last week. Loving our kids with our time and with our words and just everything that is involved in caring for our kids. We're providing for them. We're just being with them. That is one of the parameters of good parenting. And then the second parameter of good parenting is discipline. Each of these parameters serve as a boundary for our children, and as long as they are receiving both love and discipline, they can stay within the parameters or within the boundaries, and they can move forward in a direction that is healthy for them and that is positive for them. But Dr. Dobson said, if you take away one of those parameters or both of them, then the boundaries have been removed and the kids, their direction is taken away from them. And they pretty quickly get into an unhealthy position. The world has a lot to say about discipline, but as a Christian, I think we need to look and see what God's Word has to say about discipline. He's the one who is perfect in His wisdom, and if ever there is a time that the Word of God says one thing and the world's voice is saying something different, guess whose voice we better listen to? It's the Word of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 that the world's wisdom is foolishness to God. So, I encourage you, give an ear to the voice of God on the subject of discipline. Let me read these verses to you, and you may want to look them up later on your own and see, let those words pour over your mind and heart. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Proverbs 19:18, "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death." Proverbs 13:24, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." Proverbs 23:13-14, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death." Now, if you're reading from the King James Version there, that particular verse, verse 14, says, "Save his soul from hell." And you really can't misunderstand what's being said in these verses. It's just that clear. All of these verses are clear. And we have to decide, okay, am I going to trust God at his word? Am I going to believe what God says? Or am I going to listen to the world's voice? We have to decide, basically, does God know what he's talking about in this matter of discipline? If he does know what he's talking about, if we can come to that conclusion, then we have to figure out how we're going to implement his plan. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. And follow along on the screen there, or look at it in your own Bibles. Verse 6, "For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" And verse 10, jumping down to verse 10, "For they disciplined us," speaking of our fathers, our earthly fathers, "they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he, God, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." You see from that last passage, that last verse there, the purpose of discipline? It's not that my kid has transgressed my law and I'm mad and I'm going to get him for it. No, that's not the purpose of discipline. The purpose of discipline is the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's for his or her good. It's to teach them holiness. It's to teach them the ways of God. It's those two parameters that we talked about. It's directing them into the way of righteousness. Does that mean that every time, as you know, as I read these verses to you, several of them, very plainly, had to do with the rod, a spanking? Does that mean that every time there's an issue with one of your kids, you get the rod out and start wailing away at them? No. Spanking, yes, is taught in the Bible, but I am not advocating that every issue with your child is deserving of a spanking. I don't think God is teaching us that either. Let me call to your attention verse 5 in this same chapter. This whole section of Scripture, beginning with verse 4 and reading through verse 12, say, or verse 11, is talking about discipline. And right here in the middle of that passage is verse 5. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him." You see, in that scripture, there are two words that I want to highlight for you. The word discipline and the word reproof. Now, the Hebrew author was quoting from the book of Proverbs when he wrote that. And Proverbs was written originally in the Hebrew language. And so these are the two Hebrew words. Yasar involves God's actions towards us. That's the word for discipline. And reproof, the word yahak, involves God's words to us. And so even when we're thinking about God's discipline to us as his children, sometimes there is a place for reproof, for words, for a finger being pointed in our direction. You know what I'm saying? A finger being pointed and he's saying, "Hey, child, come on. Don't be living that way. Shape up." You've had that kind of discipline from your parents before where they've gotten after you verbally for your good. And then there is a place and a time for action from God. And he's the perfect father. And we can translate that into our parenting of our kids at home. There's a place and a time for words, and there's a place and a time for action, for discipline. And this is something that you pray to God for wisdom about. And read and learn from other people whom you respect and seek advice, and you see what's working for others and you try different methods. That was probably one problem that I had as a father of my kids growing up. I didn't really have too many methods. My dad, and it wasn't with this, it was with a belt. And I learned that method. I learned it well. I had plenty of experience with it. And my mom's here today. She, can you believe this lady, she didn't use a belt. She had me go get a peach tree limb. Had me pick the limb. And she used it on me. Thanks. So that was the method I had been raised with, and I really didn't know of any other method. And I wish that I would have known of some other methods too. And my daughter, Abby, is here, and her husband, Logan, and I think they must have been, they must be using, you know, put your nose in the corner type thing to their kids when there's a problem. And I was babysitting here a few weeks ago with my granddaughter, Kinsey, and Stetson, my grandson. And Kenzie and I were playing house, and she was the mom. I think I have a picture. I had my nose in the corner all day long. Try some other methods. See what's working. And communicate with your spouse. And be together on how you're going to discipline your kids. And back each other up. The very important that you back each other up. I will tell you, one of the best books I have ever read on the subject of parenting is this book right here, Have a New Kid by Friday, by Dr. Kevin Lehman. I just read this here after my kids were way gone out of the house. But I do enough talking with others about parenting that I thought I needed to read this. I was hearing a lot about it, and it is a great book. And get ahead of the game. You know, if you're young and your kids are little like this, or you don't even have kids yet, read this book. It is a great book on parenting. There are all kinds of good sources out there that will be helpful to you. I ran across, as I studied for this message here this last week, I ran across a series of 7 articles on the web. It was on Focus on the Family website, and there it is, the website, and the what you would type in for the search is Effective Child Discipline Series by Chip Ingram. 7 articles, fantastic reading on parenting, raising children. Here's an excerpt from one of those articles. Stop worrying about being your child's buddy. Hear that? Stop worrying about being your child's buddy. You are the only one in the world with the primary responsibility of giving your child what he needs, not what he wants. And sometimes that means you have to lay down the law. Afterward, you may have to go close yourself up in the bedroom and with tears in your eyes tell your spouse how bad you feel for being so hard on your kids. You'll probably need to check yourself occasionally to make sure you're not over the top with your discipline, letting your mate reel you back in if you're getting out of balance. There's the communication with each other. This is a team effort that you are involved in for the good of your child. Back to this quote here. But one way or another, you'll need to enforce the values and biblical principles that God has spelled out in His Word and laid on your heart. You'll need to be firmly convinced that you're preparing your child for a lifetime of fruitfulness. You may not be popular for a moment, but you'll rest easy at night knowing that you're saving your child from a life of destructive habits. Unquote. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to save our life from destruction, our child's life from destruction. We want to save their soul from hell. I bet Eli would have given anything to have had a second chance with his fathering. He had 2 sons. The story is in 1 Samuel. Hophni and Phinehas. And these sons were stealing from the people of Israel. You can read about it there in chapter 2, I think it is, of 1 Samuel. They were stealing from the people of Israel right there in the temple area as they were bringing sacrifices in. They were not following God's commands on how all of that was to happen. And they were living lives of immorality. And Eli the priest knew about it. The word was coming back to him through the grapevine about his sons and what they were doing. And instead of disciplining them and waking them up to their evil deeds, Eli let it go. He did rebuke them. But he didn't discipline them. He had no backbone. I think from reading the scripture, what must have been the case, Eli was going to them, "Oh, stop it. Stop it, boys. You're embarrassing me." But he didn't get a straddle of them. He didn't get tough with them. He didn't discipline them and correct their ways. And it came to a point where God stepped in. The boys died. And Eli died. And I'm very confident from what I've read in Scripture, those two boys are paying for it eternally. Because their father wanted to be their buddy instead of their disciplinarian. Here's a parental myth. The myth is your kids will feel most secure if they know you're their buddy. But the truth is, the reality is, your kids will feel most secure if they know you have set appropriate boundaries for them that you aren't afraid to enforce. Discipline is so easy to just let slide, turn away from. You can't let that happen, though. Your kids need you to discipline them. Their soul requires you to discipline them. And it's because you love them that you discipline them. And if you love them, you're going to be careful in how you discipline them. I'm not talking about hurting them at all. I'm not talking about child abuse. There's too much of that. But we are talking about firm, clear, strong discipline that is enough to get their attention and help them to understand this is wrong. I don't want to do this anymore. So, four ingredients to good parenting that we've looked at. Would you just take a moment and pray as you look at this screen behind me? Just take a moment and pray. Maybe if you're a grandparent, maybe you need to be praying for your kids who are parents now, for what role you have with your grandkids. But take some time. Lord, help. Help in this matter. God, we need you. Our families, our homes, our kids. We all need you. Would you help us to be good parents? Would you help us to be good grandparents? God, would you help our kids to be young people who are wanting to please Jesus? Knowing that their soul is the battleground upon which a very raging battle is being fought. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please. Let's sing. Words and the funny thing is okay. Thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Being myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you and in the quiet hear your voice. Of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak, pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see.
Been a good morning to be together. Before we pray this morning, I want to give you another name to add to your list. Chris Corbin, he is having back surgery this Tuesday at 11:30. So we want to remember to lift him up in addition to the rest of our list here. Let's pray over these names. Holy God, we are so thankful that you love us and that you are such a good Father, that you also discipline us when we need it. God, we want to take time now just to lift up the names here on our bulletin. And Lord, we know so many people who have been going through just the seasonal stuff that have got them down. We pray that you would provide health and healing there. But Lord, we've got some names here that are really struggling with some more long-term issues, and we just lay them before you and ask for your healing hand to be on them. And we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to use each of us to minister to those in need around us, to give your love and care where it's needed. Thank you, God, so much for this church family that we can be a part of. We just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a quick announcement here.
If Reinhardt is right around the corner, ladies, that's for you. So instead of having to travel somewhere and have a ladies' conference, it's going to come to us on the screen. It's going to be great worship, great speakers. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know so many people that I don't know around here. So I'm hoping that you're planning to come February 9th and 10th. It's a Friday night at 6 o'clock and all day on Saturday. And if you can only come for one of those days or part of the day, I think that's fine. I'm in charge and I'm laid back. So I say you can come and it's fine. And there is a registration fee, but it's pay what you can. So if you can't pay, I think they recommend $25. If you can't do that, pay a dollar. That's fine. Just to get you here and have a good time. If you're not sure how to register online, I brought my laptop. I'm going to be back at the Welcome Center. I'm happy to help you this morning. The registration deadline is this Thursday, February 1st. So we need to know for catering and some things like that who's going to be here. I hope all of you ladies are going to be here. So if you can't sign up today and you have questions, my number's in the bulletin. Call me, text me. I'm happy to help you, but I want to fill the place up and have a really good time. So I hope to see all of you there.
And don't forget, Elijah's needing some volunteers. If anybody is willing to help, just head to the multipurpose building after this, and he needs some help setting up some things.